SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Tuesday, June 2nd, opening day at Fort Erie. Good morning. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebeck.com. And I will note that I've already been to Vermont and back today. Not that it's a long journey, had the opportunity, yes, to get a haircut. You know, I go to Bennington to get coiffed. Yeah, 7 o'clock, and typically it takes about 40 minutes, but it took way less. There was no traffic, not at 6 o'clock, 6:15, and actually got to drive around Bennington a little bit, quiet, and went up to the Bennington Monument, which was built in the 1890s, commemorating the Battle of Bennington, which was instrumental in the Revolution and turning the tide. And then, of course, close by to us at Schuylerville, also very much a key turning point. I'll put a picture up later, actually. Really kind of nice if you've never been through that part of southwestern Vermont. Really beautiful. The obelisk, it's a huge stone obelisk that, you know, can be seen from pretty, you know, the mountains can obscure your view, but in certain from certain vistas, it's really a striking scene. And it was nice. I was there at 6:30 and just kind of sat for a little bit, and they got a big circle, and if you're a history buff, it's an interesting atmosphere, especially in light of our current situation. Racing-wise, a busy day yesterday. If you were involved at all, there was plenty to keep you occupied. I'll tell you that. I just kind of added up some of the numbers, and about 14, it looked like 14 million in handle yesterday on 41 races, maybe. That card at Laurel absolutely proved out and was a couple of decent prices along the way, but they did 4 million yesterday on that group of races. Another 2.6 for Mountaineer last night with 8 race card, and decent numbers there. Lone Star underway now, and they did 3.2 million, 9 race card, and Tampa these Mondays and Wednesdays, 3.7 there. So I did see that. I did see the race that Felix the Fox finally broke the maiden, and now in the care of Ron Potts, and won big, actually. And nice day. I think I probably sunk a couple of dollars here and there into Felix the Fox while he was struggling toward that maiden breaker, but he got it yesterday. Graduates. Lots of news, and aside from the racing. And when it comes to Fort Erie to later, you know, they don't judge anything by this first card, because they could not include the horses from Woodbine with the situation there, with the bit of a lockdown on the herpes virus. So they were obviously hamstrung, and will be for a few more days. But yeah, don't look at the first card at Fort Erie and say, "Oh, I'm not playing there this year." No, don't judge them on that by any means. Somewhat quiet, a little quieter today with Fort Erie, Lone Star, Mountaineer, and Assiniboia later on. Well, there's your Tuesday lineup. Tomorrow we get the last of the big circuits, the big A circuits, back running as Belmont kicks off, and going to be a very intense season with, you know, one big Saturday after another, and a stake every single day of the meet. We're going to talk a lot about Belmont today, from a variety of angles, and it'll start after the first break. Tony Alivato joins us from NYRA. And Tony, going to touch on the TV production that's going on with the America's Day at the Races that has really, you know, become a staple for players and fans to enjoy. And seemingly over the last day and a half became a source of, I won't say controversy, because it doesn't seem all that controversial. NYRA races will not be on TVG because they've made this extended coverage deal with Fox and with MSG. And the dissemination of the content is, you know, nationwide, and trying to direct the ADW business toward NYRA Bets. And don't know why that's such a difficult concept for the people that are seemingly aghast. For owners and, you know, people that are competing in New York, I mean, if handle comes through NYRA Bets, it benefits, you know, the New York racing product. They make more money off of, you know, off the bets through NYRA Bets than through, you know, rival ADWs. The thing that's strange about, you know, what seemed like, faux outrage, all the football leagues, all the sports leagues, all the network operations, they've got content deals that they make. If you're betting on TVG, the feed is there. So instead of watching it on TVG, you watch it on Fox and MSG and the other platforms. So the discussion that started during the limited offering period when, you know, there was just the, you know, the three thoroughbred tracks. And, you know, people were discussing, you know, the casino revenues and how it contributes to purse structure and what's the future of that, and, you know, the, how the industry, well, part of that discussion also is, you know, is the bricks and mortar operations versus, you know, the ADW business. And the bricks and mortar, whatever the decisions, however they were derived, you know, going back to the beginning of ADW and OTB, we've discussed for years about how it was a mistake to, you know, to structure things the way they were structured at the beginning, and the bricks and mortar continue to try to, you know, make the financial splits more equitable, and it costs a lot more to run racetracks than it does to run, you know, computer software operation. So it's hard to be, you know, confused by what, you know, what this financial, what the financial elements of this are. You know, you watch, certain college football, you know, leagues on one, you know, on one network. You watch, you know, the NFC games on Fox. You watch the AFC games on CBS. So it feels like a similar situation. So Tony can address that, and I want to talk about the future and you know, the other, by the way, the other part of this whole thing is that even with the TV, I invariably, I've got the laptop sitting in my lap, and I'm watching, you know, track feeds anyway. I mean, the whole TV part of it is, you know, it seems like a less significant, less and less significant element. You can also go to the NYRA website and the show streams. So we'll see what Tony's thoughts are. We're also going to talk to Jeff Franklin. I've been wanting to get Jeff on for weeks, and this is perfect because tying in with the Jeff's running the Thoroughgraph Player Services, which, if you aren't aware, I mentioned this when it launched, and we've mentioned it at the beginning of Saratoga last year, but Jerry Brown and his team, and you know, Jeff, somebody that, you know, was very familiar with all these storylines, with the ADWs and with the television side of things and so forth. Jeff is running Thoroughgraph Player Services, and it's basically a value-added, you know, wagering outlet that, you know, offers you, you know, a chance to, you know, to earn rebate money based on your volume. And, you know, even if your volume is fairly modest, there's benefit and there's room. And I want Jeff to explain it. And when you fold in something like what this represents, the Thoroughgraph Player Service concept, plus this deal that's going on, this 5% first 5 days of the meet, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, through NYRA Bets, 5% rebate on all your handle for the first 5 days of the meet. It's a very lucrative, yeah, very nice deal. And so Jeff will talk about, you know, all the benefits, and when we get back to having the opportunity to attend races in person, they'll, You know, there's things, there's benefits on track that have been established with lots of venues. And so it'll be nice to catch up with Jeff. Haven't talked to him in too long. Nick Tamaro is going to be with us. Nick will look at spots and parts of sequences for tomorrow, for opening day at Belmont. The Bogey, of course, we mentioned yesterday, the grade three that kicks off the stake calendar, and the rest of the sequence, and the rest of the, that's the pick part of the pick five, pick four, you know, the late action. And, there's a 2 year old race with just a handful, just six, starts the 2 year old part of the year, but there's quite a few. I found three prices, actually, in the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and I'm anxious to see what Nick is going to do. And Nick, as part of our coverage of Belmont, I can't go down, by the way. Pat McKenna got back to me over the weekend. He said, you know, he said, we've got to take temperatures of everybody. And he said, can you wait, you know, point for Belmont week instead? And that's fine. I understood. So I can't go down tonight. This all ties into why my haircut was scheduled for 7 a.m. because I thought it was the first day back to get the haircut at the Clip Shop in Bennington. And so the first they said 6:30. I said, well, I'm going down to New York. So that's going to be, you know, complicated. They said, well, Jenna would come in at 7 for you. Okay. So that's why I hustled to Bennington and got my haircut, so that I could then leave after the show or this afternoon and go down to Long Island, but we'll save it. We'll save it for Belmont week instead. But anyway, as part of Nick's coverage and, you know, a real focus on Belmont here the next 5 weeks, the analysis that you all came to love when Nick would do it online for Capital, Nick's analysis of the Belmont meet is going to be daily, and it'll be complete, and happy to offer it and present it throughout the races and in coordination with RTN, Roberts Television, and which, by the way, there's your other option. I mean, if you're serious about having all the signals and having all the, you know, the video, then you should be subscribing to RTN. I mean, essentially it's a 50 cent a day expense. So, Nick will be in, and we'll, at the top of hour two, give or take, or maybe after Tony and before Jeff, essentially. Second half of the show, of course, Andy will be here, and we'll get to Andy's early thoughts, Andy Serling, and start to get look toward the meet with him. And Ryan Matthews, who's got the value-added concept of Trip Notes, TripNotePros.com. And a lot of people know Ryan from the West Coast and from Contest World. And on Twitter, of course, as Benny South Street. But Ryan has really hit upon a terrific idea. And it's analysis of trips that horses of horses that, you know, may have had trips. And, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, Andy Serling and Eric Donovan, they had Trips and Traps, which was really the last way that was addressed that I can remember. I mean, in general analysis and race watching and replay watching, you'll come across trips, obviously, but writing them down and keeping, you know, having notes the same way we've really come to appreciate the workout reports, having them in that format augmenting all the other information. This was a really, you know, a very clever niche to create a product, and it's helping a lot of players. So we'll find out how Ryan, you know, how the concept came about, how he's executing it. Because it's a lot of work, obviously. I mean, you got to, you know, to go through a card or to go through a sequence. Let's say, you know, there's been a lot of pick five work. You know, it's, you know, especially right now. Think about it. With these 12 and 14 horse fields, and you got to watch, you know, one or two races each. So, this is a, I thought it was really worthwhile. And I mentioned it last week when Pete was on, that I wanted to get Ryan to visit. So Ryan Matthews at the bottom of hour two. And Graham Motion. Graham Motion, who reached out to for yesterday, even though Graham was on last week. How can you resist having, you know, 2 weeks in a row of Graham? You know, last week it was sharing coming back, and this time Secret Message, of course, in that mint julep that put a lot of jingle in a lot of pockets. The OBS sale continued as well, and we got that and some other things. Judge ruled on the KHBA, HBPA's attempt to block the Lasix-free races. We'll get to that and more. People enjoyed that musical interludes yesterday, and we're going to do the same this morning. Some Gorillaz start us off. Tony Alivato after this.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here is our tree that primitively grows. When we go to bed, scarecrows from the far east come to eat its tender fruit. And I've thought the best way to protect our tree is by building walls, walls like unicorns in full glory and galore, and even stronger than the walls of Jericho. But glad then, my friend, that in a few we shall reap a gravity. What we always dreamt of having, enough of the starving. It's just love that is the root of all. And thank you, my friend, for trusting me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, money. Hallelujah, money. Hallelujah, money. If this be the end, then so shall it be. Until we say so, nothing will move.
Ah, don't worry. It's not against our morals. It's legally tender. Touch, my friend, what the whole world and whole beasts of nations desire.
We're back at the races, about 25 into hour one on this Tuesday, and we're a day out from the start of the Belmont season, and delayed, obviously, by the demands of the pandemic, but certainly this is going to be an intense and terrific Belmont meet, including the newfangled Belmont Stakes for 2020, to talk about it, Tony Alivato from NYRA. Tony, good morning. Yep. Let's try it again. You got him, Case? All right. And this is a landline. This is not a cell phone, I don't think. Tony. All right. Let Case pick that up, if you would, and see what's going on. While we wait, let me slip in the OBS news from yesterday, day two of the Bree Show, and they're already back underway this morning, day three. It'll go till Saturday, and not this time, Philly, and not this time already with two winners among the early two-year-old racing, but not this time, Philly, 20-1. Wild. And top line. There he is. Tony Alivato joins us. Tony, good morning.
Thank you. Nice.
Very good.
Good job.
Well, listen, it's, you know, you do this for 15 years. You gotta have some fodder ready to tap dance. It's early.
Point of the segment.
But I know that it's early for you, but it's hard to know probably which early morning call was more annoying, mine or Andy's yesterday.
Yes, I had Andy texting me at 6:30 in the morning yesterday. So, and I went back and forth with him, and after about eight replies, I finally said, "Andy, can we not do this at 6:30 in the morning?"
I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist.
But that, listen, if he's passionate, nobody can ever take that away from him. He is very passionate about the game, and it's 24/7 for him. So I don't think he looks at the clock when he's sending a text or an email, which is a quality about him.
Well, and just appreciate that if you're getting those, that it's saving some of us from some other, the circle of friends.
You're welcome.
Well, Tony, we were going to talk essentially about the start of the meet and this 5% deal for the first 5 days of the meet. However, the seeming consternation over the last day and a half as part of this TVG lineup story, I've got to bring this up, and I would love for you to explain, how the Fox deal has blossomed and burgeoned, and what the rationale is and the benefits, to the association of structuring the Signal offer this way.
Yeah, look, I have very strong ties to TVG. I was the first production hire at TVG back in 1998, if you could believe that. And a lot of the people that work at TVG now, in fact, the majority of the talent and the people that are there are hired by me. I have very strong ties. It represents a big part of my life. And any criticism I throw TVG's way is directed towards myself as well, in terms of the model that has been created there from an on-air television standpoint. And that model works very well for TVG, but I don't work for TVG anymore. I work for the New York Racing Association, and I'm trying to do what's best for New York Racing. And when you look at what TVG does, I mean, they have deals with multiple tracks, and they do a great job of televising a lot of races. But unfortunately, at the New York Racing Association, that doesn't necessarily work for us. We want to give New York racing as much coverage as possible. So a few years ago, we started experimenting with some programs that aired on MSG and on Fox. We did 80 hours that first year, and it's grown every year to more and more hours. It started with Saratoga Live, expanded to Belmont Park Live. Now it's America's Day at the Races because of the other tracks that we show. And the shows have been well received. I mean, we're always trying to make them better. We know they're far from perfect. But with our shows, what we try to do is tell the stories of horse racing. Every show, we try to educate, entertain, and inform. We try to talk about the owners, the breeders. We have great sponsors with Ron Happy and Claiborne. We like to give them a lot of exposure. Anybody who's seen the shows are aware of them. And we try to give the fans just and the bettors an opportunity to win. And we feel by showing less, we're giving them more. So when you watch Belmont Park racing, or you watch America's Day at the Races on Thursday, you're going to see four races in an hour, a race every 15 minutes, Belmont Churchill, in that order. And compared to if we were on TVG right now, you're looking at Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Laurel Park, Golden Gate, Churchill Downs, Belmont. That's six tracks that during the overlap hours would be running. That's 12 races in an hour, and it just there are only 60 minutes in the hour last time I checked. So ultimately, by the time you're done, you're talking about less than 2 minutes of pre-race coverage per race, and that it just doesn't work for us. So that's kind of where we've gone, and Fox has just been an unbelievably supportive partner with us in terms of giving coverage to horse racing. But in the television business, to get on TV, people want exclusive rights if they're going to commit that many hours. We went from 80 hours that first year. It was non-exclusive. It's been non-exclusive every year. This year we're going to do 700 hours on Fox Sports 2, Fox Sports 1, and the Run Happy Travers Stakes will be on Big Fox, the same network that showed the Super Bowl last year. So we're excited. We think this is great for racing. I've seen, you know, headlines about inconvenience for viewers and for fans, and I guess you could call it an inconvenience on Super Bowl Sunday when I turned on my TV and I went to NBC to watch the Super Bowl and it was on Fox. I guess there was an inconvenience when it took me 8 seconds to change channels. But I found a way to make that 8 seconds back since then in my life. So, there's a little bit of an inconvenience. But at the end of the day, we think we're doing what's best for horse racing and what's best for the New York Racing Association.
Well, when it comes to that portion of the equation, too, as somebody that's that has closely followed the association and the franchise debate predated you're coming to New York, but it's funny how. It's funny how for years NYRA was criticized as not being, business savvy. And then when trying to maximize their signal and their assets, that's not good either, apparently. It is annoying to see. It feels like it doesn't matter what direction or what format is taken. When you try to when NYRA has tried to maximize the revenue possibilities at Saratoga, that wasn't good either. It's very strange how NYRA is singled out for unique criticism.
Look, people always complain that we don't have enough sponsors in the sport, and then when you see people like Run Happy, America's Best Racing, and Claiborne come aboard, you've got to give to get in this industry and in the world. And everybody wants horse racing to be big time and big league, but if you want to be big league, there are costs to that. It's not going to be business as usual. And the notion of putting the same races on multiple networks or letting them pick, ultimately someone is going to fall by the wayside. And I use this analogy that if every network that covered college football could pick whatever game they wanted to show. Everybody's going to want to show Alabama, LSU. Nobody's going to show Texas Tech versus Arkansas. Nobody's going to show UCLA versus Cal. Those games are not going to get on television. And so, to me, from a television standpoint, it just doesn't make sense to have the same two networks showing the same races. It just does not make sense. So the Breeders' Cup's on NBC. They do an unbelievable job. The Triple Crown's on NBC. They do an unbelievable job with that. And the Travers will be, the Runappy Travers will be on Fox. And hopefully we'll do a great job with that. But you don't see those races on multiple networks, and there's a reason why.
Hmm. It's a valuable, yeah, it's a valuable property. Out of curiosity, is the signal as it's going to be, you know, offered on the, you know, the regional networks, the MSGs and so forth, and the Fox regionals and the Fox National, is it in the same number of homes as the TVG dials on,
I mean,
on cable?
With all the regional networks and Fox, we're looking at you know, close to 80 million homes that we're in. You know, last Sunday, we haven't got the ratings this past week, and last Sunday, the viewership number was the highest we've ever had on Fox Sports One, and that was, we only had Churchill running. That was the only track that was racing, and the numbers were comparable to the average that viewership that Fox Sports One gets for an NCAA basketball game. So, you know, look, the sport's come a long way, and we want to keep that momentum going, and we believe that the best way to do that is to get it in front of as many eyeballs as possible. And you look, coming out of Colin Cowherd or coming out of having our shows follow a NASCAR event, that can only be good for horse racing. And it's going to introduce new people to the sport, which is what everybody has been asking for as long as I have been in the sport. And it you know, look, if it's exactly what you're saying, and this is what we wished for, now it's happening, let's embrace it and try and find a way to make it work.
The coverage from a technical standpoint, to talk about the execution and the challenges, you've got sort of layers of the talent that kind of intermingles and kind of mix and match as it were, and obviously nobody's going to stay on from 1 o'clock to 6 o'clock straight. And so talk about kind of picking and choosing and the way the product spills out into homes.
I think there's a lot of great commentators in horse racing, and we're very fortunate to have just an exceptional team. I would put our team up there from a talent standpoint with any sport, and everybody brings something different to the table. Andy Serling, lives and breathes New York racing. He has no problem playing the villain on the show, which is great. But he's like we mentioned, he's so passionate. And then you've got someone like Jonathan Kinchin, who's only been on the air for a year, and his enthusiasm is just unbridled and unrivaled. And he really represents the average fan, the average bettor. I think they can really relate to him. And then you've got someone like Maggie Wolfendale, who, for me, as a person who has bet on horse racing my entire life, Maggie is someone who gives me something that I cannot get by looking at a racing form or looking at the sheets. She's there in the paddock, and she's telling me, look, do not bet this 8-5 shot today. This horse has a turf hoof and is not going to run as well on the dirt. I could never get that looking at a form. Maybe there's people out there that can, but I can't. And so for me, there's somebody there for everybody. We're all going to have people we like better than others on the shows, and the viewers say that. But I think ultimately we've put together a really good team, and they've done a remarkable job during this pandemic, working from home, working remotely. The production team's been unbelievable, working with a fraction of the crew that we normally would from multiple locations. And, we got a lot of support from Adrian Butler, who works with Astronic Group, and Amy Zimmerman with XBTV, who's helped us to keep the shows on the air when we couldn't go live from Aqueduct. And halfway through our America's Day at the Racing season, we had to literally pick up and move the production truck to Belmont because Aqueduct was going to be potentially a hospital, an Army Reserve hospital. So it's been a crazy few months for us and for the whole world, obviously. But from a television standpoint, with the crew, with the talent, and with our partners, I can't say enough about what they've done to keep us on the air. And hopefully, you know, give people who are watching sports or want to watch sports, watch horse racing, a little relief from the chaos and insanity that's going on in the world.
No doubt. And, you know, we should also include in this, and we can morph over to Naira Betts and this offer. And in fact, Jeff Franklin's going to join us in the second hour too. We're going to talk about what Thorograph is doing, the Thorograph Player Services concept. But the 5% rebate is a backdrop these first 5 days of the meet, Tony, to also reinforce the fact that, you know, the racing product and Naira itself, you know, benefits from people betting through the platform. You know, from a business standpoint, you know, that makes sense. I mean, talk about the way Naira Betts is very quickly, you know, geared up and available in 29 jurisdictions and you know, trying to fill out, you know, and be available in all states that allow for legal ADW.
Yeah, so the Naira Betts is available in 29 states. And, you know, the thing about Naira is that we are a not-for-profit. And so our goal is to make sure that horse racing is around and succeeds and prospers and, you know, grows. And so if you're a Naira Betts customer, or you're a person who gambles on horse racing in the state of New York, and you make a bet with Naira Betts, that's the same as making an on-track bet. And, you know, for those of you listening right, who are familiar with the takeout system, you know that money gets taken out of every bet and it goes to fund horse racing. Some of it goes to the track operator, some of it goes to the horseman, some of it goes to the ADW company that's taking the bet. Well, with Naira Betts, regardless of where you are, if you're sitting at home, and you're a New York resident, and you make a bet with us, that's the same as an on-track bet. That means that when you bet with Naira Betts, you're doing more to support horse racing and ensure that horse racing continues in New York and prospers, and it has the big purses that we have and the great racing that we have. So it's important for Naira Betts to do well, and you know, we appreciate the customers that we have. They've been very loyal, and hopefully the product that we give them to wager on is good. And, you know, when you look at the fact that we've been gone for so long from a racing standpoint, today I, you know, walked into Belmont Park for the first time in 3 months, the first time I've been on a track in New York in 3 months, and it's just a beautiful place, and it was, you know, it was a little bit emotional to walk in here and be back. And racing's back tomorrow, and it's the first sporting event to be held in New York in the entire state since the pandemic. So it's a big moment for the state. It's a big moment for racing. But when we looked at our customers and our fans, I really wanted to do something that was special for them. And to be able to give a 5% rebate to customers at all levels, regardless if you're a $2 bettor or you're a $2 million bettor, you're going to get a 5% rebate. That's a big deal. And for people, at first glance, for those who aren't familiar with rebates, they haven't gotten rebates in the past, they may not understand how big of a deal it is. If a person deposits $200 in their account today and they bet with it, they win, they lose, they win, they lose, the average turnover on that $200 is 3x, so they all have bet $600 in the day. And at the end of the day, let's just say you break even. Well, that rebate that will show up in your account the next day is going to be $30. So now you start the day off with $230. Now imagine as you do that during the course of the whole week, and that's for a person with $200 in their account. Some people have more, some people have less. That's where it really makes a difference. And for people who are serious players, they will tell you that a 5% rebate can be the difference between winning and losing in the game, or having, you know, even a little bit of extra money in your account to add that extra horse in the pick five, which I know I like to do.
No doubt. And that money will pile up quickly. And you know, there's certainly players that, you know, that don't even realize, you know, that this is out there, and that, you know, the potential for, you know, for, you know, a volume, you know, for a volume rebate. We'll discuss that with Jeff Franklin too. Is, you know, is really a key to, you know, to trying to you know, get over the top. I mean, you know, well, we've talked enough, Tony, about and your career spans the breadth of the growth of the teams, of the computer teams, and you know that. You know, that's part of this storyline, and in fact, you know, there's another benefit to the way you know, Naira Betts and Naira in overall has operated by you know, basically keeping you know, the pick five pool, for instance. You know, there's an area where you know, the players are on a level playing field. I mean, there's been, you know, there's been a real consistent attempt to, you know, to provide players with you know, the kinds of tools that, you know, that they need and deserve.
Yeah, I mean, look, the players are the lifeblood of this industry, and everything is funded by the wagering dollar that goes through, and it's important to give the best opportunity to win and to stay and play, as opposed to the elite few. So, I agree 100% with what you're saying. We've done that with the late pick five and the way that we've structured it, and the people that they're able to bet into that pool. And I think that, you know, hopefully it's working, and it's something that we're always going to tinker with. I mean, we'll look at this 5% rebate and, at the end of the week, and see what kind of numbers it produced. And hopefully we can do more like this in the future.
Tony Alavato's with us from Naira. And, Tony, before we go to looking ahead toward Saratoga and in terms of broadcast coverage and, you know, some of the other elements, you know, with a lot of the tracks coming back online in another 2 weeks and pretty much everybody that wants to run will be running, can we look forward to things like some of the cross-country wagers, the cross-country pick five over the summer coming back around?
Yes, I think you're going to see that come up sooner than later. We've been talking to Churchill Downs, who's been just a great partner with us, and, you know, is participating in the shows for the first time. And it just makes a lot of sense to have races that we're televising have some type of a bet that's associated with it. So the cross-country pick five will be back, and it's going to be back sooner than later. And I think the first time you'll see it will be here at Belmont Park with Churchill Downs Racing. We'll combine the two tracks to come up with five races. And then with Saratoga, Saratoga Live, we'll be doing the same thing with some of our other partner tracks that are out there. But it's a great bet, and the payouts seem to overpay every week in terms of what the parlay would pay. So it's definitely something worth looking at when it's available.
Well, Tony, certainly appreciate the opportunity to visit ahead of the start of the Belmont season. It's going to be intense, and you know, stakes every day on the racetrack, and big Saturdays. They'll draw tomorrow for the first of these multi-stake Saturdays. We got the Westchester and the Fort Marcy and the Carter, the Andy Serling Carter, and more, and then of course, you know, in 2 weeks, hence after that, we'll be on top of Belmont Day, and looking forward as soon as the opportunity arises to be broadcasting from Belmont. And you know, good luck through the, you know, through the meet, and thanks for, you know, what has been a, you know, really an amazing accomplishment to essentially do a Saturday broadcast every single day. I mean, especially during the summer. If you think back to these Saratoga summer shows, 6 days a week, and now that's, you know, been trimmed to five. But essentially, it's a Saturday feature, you know, Belmont Stakes, Breeders' Cup Day broadcast on a daily basis, and the planning and work that goes into it for it to be, you know, of such a consistent high level is a real testament to everybody that works behind the scenes.
Thanks, Steve, and thanks for everything you do for horse racing, and hope all people listening will tune in to America's Day at the Races on, you know, Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, MSG, and all those regional networks, and play with Naira Betts. It pays more to play with us.
Tony Alavato, everybody, for the New York Racing Association. And Tony, you know, Tony's got a hat full of titles. I mean, I think they just call him chief revenue officer. But that's kind of limiting, because you're doing all the TV production, your Naira Bet stuff, and also the marketing work.
Well, I have a great team, so it makes my job a lot easier than it sounds.
Tony Alavato, everybody, whose career is really dedicated and in a lot of ways, you know, culminated with this, you know, this daily production. And, you know, it's one thing, you know, to have a studio, but and you know, bring in the feeds, but to do what's been done here, what's been accomplished, to me is, you know, is amazing. And, you know, people watching have, you know, are the ones that that are benefiting. Well, certainly this Belmont meet, you're going to benefit from the consistent return of Nick Tamaro's opinion day after day, race after race. And Nick joins me now. Nick, good morning.